following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Back to hour three at Radio Law Talk. We're going to have a case or no case. We're going to talk about some PG&E stuff. Remember, we're talking about general areas of law. Seek legal counsel for your own legal issues. Do not show up to court and say, according to Radio Law Talk, Todd Cunin and Denise Dirks and Fred Penny, the following is what I believe is the law. I win, Judge.
I have it on questionable authority.
Yes. Or as my dad used to say to my grandma, when my grandma would quote something, she'd say, "You know, they say." And my dad would always say, "Who's they?"
Yes, the infamous they.
Yeah.
They are always saying, or they're doing studies.
You know, they say.
That's well, I like see. The one where you say, "Well, we need to do this." And then you're like, "Who's we?" And of course, it's like the empirical we, right?
Yes, yes.
It's just we.
Yeah. All right. Well, just remember, if you want to call in 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk, we're gonna go into a number of things, including talk about Kavanaugh, also the possibility of him hearing a Planned Parenthood case, which went by the wayside. We'll tell you why it went by the wayside, John Gosselin. And then we're gonna do case or no case. But really quick, Cal, before we do that, I want to talk about the PG&E. You know, PG&E is being sued like crazy, and we talked about it last week. But the one issue is the campfire up near Paradise, California. There is allegations. And again, right now, this is all allegations. And Cal, I know you have a morning show. You've talked about this.
But
the allegations are that someone up in the Paradise general area was told or emailed or called by PG&E, say, "We're having an issue up here with an area," and that's where the fire started.
Correct.
And now there is, and by the way, I know this for a fact, it's difficult to get up there, and they actually have, I don't know if it's called security or guards, watching that area where it started for evidence purposes.
I just drove up to the area very near where the campfire started yesterday to do some business on a radio transmitter. We have one up there that got run over by the fire.
Right.
And I will tell you, the level of devastation, you can't believe. I can see why people are upset.
Right, absolutely.
Damage, you know, but...
Oh, it's just devastating, and their lives have been devastated. But PG&E is now reporting, I guess they probably kept quiet, but they're saying, okay, there's so much out there, they're stepping up. This reporting that bullet holes and broken equipment at the scene of the campfire where it ignited.
Near the scene.
And no. So that, I mean, again, that's just their story, and there's so many allegations going back and forth now, we don't know what's going on.
And why this is an issue is not, did the fire start here and the damage over here? If a circuit's damaged, it can show up in any weak link along that particular circuit. So it's possible that there's vandalism over here with a gun shooting insulators or what have you. That overheats a circuit on the other leg, and boom, we've got a problem. And that kind of thing is very possible, which I think is why they're bringing it up.
And Cal, I believe, if I remember, when we talked about this before, you know, there were some reports that when PG&E had tried to get a hold of this one individual who
the
was
woman,
out.
Correct. Yeah.
And it was reported initially that they were out there because there were reports of sparks. And that's not true. I believe what you said was there were reports of spikes, which is when PG&E is looking at their power grid, they can see different areas where, okay, you've got the power flows at a certain, you know, however they measure it, certain hertz or whatever.
Amperage.
And then you have a spike that goes up. And if there's a spike, the question would be, is there a ground? Has something happened here? And they want to go out and look at that.
Right.
And a bullet hole at one spot could cause a spike at another.
Exactly.
Well, it was multiple bullet holes. Yeah. Actually,
yes.
they're claiming that workers found a fallen power pole with equipment on it with multiple bullet holes in it, and the inspectors found a broken hook and a flash mark on a high-voltage tower, suggesting the tower line broke free and made contact with that tower.
And that's where the attorneys that are doing their own investigation, that's what they came up with. They said, oh, look, we found a broken hook. right? And PG&E says, well, okay, that may be. But look, we've got a down pole with bullet holes here, which misbalanced or overloaded this circuit. So all we're doing, I think, here is besides posturing and saying, well, I've got this. Well, okay, but we've got that. You know, they're trying the case in the court of public opinion to a certain extent, I would think.
But all we want to do
is... And then trying to shift the burden onto the consumers.
That's going to happen no matter
what.
And
we discussed that last week. So those of you who want to hear more about how the money's being shifted and the latest laws that are coming out about how PG&E can or cannot shift the money or the burden to the consumer, go back to last week's podcast. It's down on our www.radiolawtalk.com. But we here at Radio Law Talk stay politically neutral, and we wanted to bring out both sides because this came out. It's time PG&E wants to state their argument. So, and we definitely, no matter who argues what, we feel bad for the people that have it's been devastated no matter what the situation.
Right. The lawyers can posture all they wish, but the damage is very real, and the death and destruction. So our sympathies to those
exactly
folks.
That's exactly right. So anyway, with that, let's move on to the happy times of case or no case. Where
now
maybe
it's
I
time
can get
to play case or no case.
Yay!
All right, here we go. If you want to do it. Last time, let's see, Fred and Todd got, Fred got no puntas, Todd got a point, Denise got a point. Okay. So now, I'm sorry, I'm playing a little Christmas music.
Oh, I like the Christmas music.
I know, Judy Garland, Have Yourself a Merry, I love the song. Anyway, I'll put it back and play it as we bump out. So, my case or no case is a fairly straightforward one. A North Carolina jewelry store, Allen Perry Jewelers, had a special promotion. He announced that customers' holiday purchases would be free if 3 or more inches of snow fell on Christmas Day in Asheville, North Carolina. Guess what? It snowed 6 inches on Christmas Day in Asheville, North Carolina. Luckily, Mr. Perry had ponied up $10,000 to buy a $400,000 insurance policy to cover this eventuality. No problem. The total payout was more than that, and the insurance covered the whole deal. 311 customers, all eligible to win. But one customer, Tom O'Neill, said, "The fact that you gave me back my money, that's not good enough, because you did not give me back my sales tax, and I want my sales tax back." So I'm going to ask you all, ladies and gentlemen, case... or no case, and I'll start with Denise this time. Ms. Dirks, what do you think? Case or no case? I've got 2 minutes.
Can I clarify stuff while you think?
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that he put out there on the radio or wherever that said you get a free necklace or you get free money.
Whatever jewelry purchase you've made
in the past,
we had like a 30-day window, whatever it is.
Okay.
You buy this jewelry, if it snows sick, you get absolutely free.
All your money back.
You get it free. You get your purchase price back.
Okay. Well, the key would have to be to listen to what was said, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, by putting out this advertising or public announcement that whatever you buy during this period of time, if it snows, then you're going to get it free. If it says you're going to get it free, then this person would have a reason to claim, hey, I should get it free, and that includes you pay the sales tax. Now, depending on the state, North Carolina, it may say you can't shift the sales tax. I don't know what to say. But the question is this enough information for us to believe that Cal has made this up?
Oh, by the way, he got $7,616 back. That's what he spent, but he only got $7,052 back.
$7,616,
and he only got back $7,052. So you guys can start doing the math right now to figure out whether I'm yanking your chain on the sales tax matter, which I can see you all doing very quickly.
Well, we're going to be back.
I'm not so quick. I'm so sorry.
You got 30 seconds. You gotta figure this out.
Can I answer afterwards? I have to think about this.
Okay. Denise wants to think and study and try to research this.
If she doesn't give us another half hour time,
call us at 855 Law Radio if you have any questions about this case or no case.
We'll be back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
I am Cameron Levitt, Chief Operating Officer of Concussion Medical Clinic. California's first concussion medical clinic is now open. As concussions increase each year, there has never been a greater need for concussion specialists. Our physicians at Concussion Medical Clinic are board certified in pediatric neurology and sports medicine and have partnered with universities, hospitals, and rehab clinics to expedite the recovery process. Simply put, we are elevating the standard of care. When you need an expert concussion opinion or concussion care, visit concussionmedicalclinic.com. To schedule your appointment.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see it.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Hey, we're back talking about case or no case. And just a brief overview. We've got an individual that owns a jewelry store that said, look, if it snows 3 inches in North Carolina, this place in North Carolina, I will pay for your jewelry. Basically, we don't know exactly what was said, but generally speaking, pay for whatever jewelry you bought during this time period. It actually snowed 6 inches. He paid everybody. He actually took out an insurance policy for $10,000 that covered the approximately $300,000 payouts. And someone sues and says, but you did not cover my sales tax, Denise.
And we asked Denise first whether this was a case or no case, and if so, what the outcome would be. And Denise says...
No case.
No case. All right. Denise says no case. Mr. Penny, you started with you last time, so I'm going to go to Mr. Kunin second.
Yeah, Kunin now he has to change his strategy. Yeah.
No. I'm gonna keep the strategy. I'm going to keep my strategery.
My strategery.
So yeah, here's, at first blush, I did a little bit of math, and if my math is correct, I would say that if he paid 7616 is what he paid, $7,616 for the jewelry. He only got $7,052 back. So it was, I'm estimating that the difference, $564,
correct,
was the amount he paid in tax,
correct,
which comes out to about 7.9% sales tax.
Ooh,
so that does basically approximate what the sales tax probably would be in the North Carolina area, in Asheville, if they had local and state taxes. But, you know, at first I want to say, if this is a case, this guy's an idiot. And here's why. You just put yourself on the radar to the IRS that you got a $7,000 gift to you that they could tax the fair market value. So when he reports his income tax, if he reports it, and let's say he made $100,000 that year, they're going to come back and say, you should have said you made $107,000, buddy, because you got a $7,000 gift that you drew attention to yourself by saying, oh, I didn't get my sales tax paid for. So.
Oh, but wait. There's one other thing I didn't tell you.
Uh-oh. And here we go.
And he says it after I already decided.
Well, Mr. Perry said the tax exclusion was on the rules, and the rules were posted on the counter at the store. Okay. That's the only other fact.
So this is what I am going to say. And I don't know how this works with our rules. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. I believe that there was a jewelry store that had this promotion. And I believe that this promotion did result in the jewelry store owner having to pay out money. I don't believe that there was a customer that got upset that sued because he didn't get his $564 in sales tax back. So I think that everything is correct.
So you're saying no case?
So I'm saying no case because this is something that happened, but there's no guy that ever came forward to claim this. So I'm going no case based on
that. That's still a case.
So Denise says no.
Hold on.
No,
it's
no case.
I'm saying there's no plaintiff here.
Yeah,
there's no plaintiff.
That's no case as I interpret it. If no case is filed, there's no case. Mr. Penny, what say you?
Wow, that was good analysis. I love Todd's analysis, and sometimes Denise, too. I like your analysis.
Well, she said it was no case.
Yeah, man. She just said no case. I'm not going to say something. I'm going. It's a fact's a fact, Denise. It was a no case. Some like Fred Penny's analysis. No case. But
no
you know
suit
what?
For you.
I'm going to say it's a case. I'm saying it's a case. So I'm going to go out on a limb and try to – I got to catch up. But here's the way I see it. First of all, an individual cannot go out there and promise something on behalf of a government. In other words, they can't say, I'm going to cover your taxes. The government, that's the government to make sure that they're taxed. I mean, well, the individual takes the taxes, but you can't go out and say, you know, in my opinion, the government, you're not going to. How do I say this? I'm really getting tired. The way I'm trying to say
you
it is
you can't say
follows.
That you do not have to pay taxes.
Yes, you can't say that as a business owner.
You can say, I will pay the taxes.
I'll cover
on
it for you, but you can't say you don't pay the taxes.
Got
because
it.
And they do say that sometimes. They'll say on
like
commercials,
we'll have a
we'll
we pay the
you.
Tax sale.
Yeah, we
right.
pay the tax sale.
Right.
So the answer is a case. And I would normally say he loses, but it's so off the wall, I'm going to say he wins because the assumption was that everything was going to be covered, even if he put it on his counter. Because when Cal brought that point up, I said to myself, he's trying to sway us to go on the side of the jeweler. So I say the guy wins and multiple people get reimbursement for their taxes they had to pay on it also.
And I think that it's going to depend on the method by which the promise was made. If it was made in the store and there was a disclaimer in the store, just under your analysis.
Are you changing now that this is a
you
case?
You
can't. No.
That's a pretty interesting analysis for somebody who said no case.
I said no case. I was just commenting
okay,
on the
right,
legal
analysis.
Here we go, Cal. 855 Law Radio.
My brother.
Or tweet us.
The question is, case or no case? So we told you already that the rules were posted on the counter.
The alleged rules.
But
no, the disclaimer.
The alleged rules in the case that Denise and Todd says was no case. But due to the busyness of the holiday season, the employees were not able to read the rules to every customer. So, the question is, what do we have here? Those of you who say it is a case, may I see...
Yes! Fred Penny skunks them. Oh, I needed that.
Yep. And I those of you that. Who say that he won, that the plaintiff prevailed, let's see. That's
me?
Fred also.
Dang it. Dang it.
Because the case...
I knew he wouldn't, but I just sounded too good.
Well, here's the thing. The judge in the case said sales tax belongs to the state of North Carolina, not the customer.
What I said.
And the
or
case,
try to say.
Yeah, and the case was dismissed. Perry continues to run the holiday promotion to this day, but an ad for the promotion on his store's website now says sales tax excluded.
Well, and you know what?
That, ladies and gentlemen, is... Yes, go ahead, Fred.
I nailed it, but I just went against my gut.
Yeah,
I'm going to change the name of this case and no case to sales tax excluded.
There you go. I like it.
Well, thank you, Cal, for giving me 1 point back. How's our timing?
We've got 30 seconds.
Okay, we got 30 seconds left. So let's go out with some good music, Cal.
Let me go ahead.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Kavanaugh. We're going to talk about the judges, whether or not they're going to review a Planned Parenthood case. I'm talking the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about Gosselin, and we could talk about Mueller. We got all kinds of things. Case or no case is over, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and your favorite radio station. Stay tuned. There's more ahead.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rosbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials. So just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at pennyandassociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
Many women have so many clothes in the closet, but then we go to get dressed and find we have nothing to wear. We've all been there. We all want to be comfortable and fashionable at the same time, and it's difficult to find clothing that makes that task effortless. But at Letty & Company, you can find trendy, comfortable clothing that is affordable. Things you'll want to wear every day. Shop with a purpose online with free shipping. Just go to LettyandCompany.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
The Parkland School Safety Commission, formed after the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, is recommending training and arming teachers despite opposition in the community. Sheriff Bob Galteri in Pinellas County, Florida, supports the measure.
We have to give people a fighting chance. We've got to give them an opportunity to protect themselves, in my view. We don't have enough to put cops in every school or multiple cops in every school, and we're not maximizing the use of the guardian program, and one person, one good guy with a gun on every campus is not adequate.
The proposal has yet to go before the governor or state lawmakers. A gunman killed 17 students and staff members back in February. Just hours after the president named Budget Director Mick Mulvaney his new chief of staff, he's now looking for a new Interior Secretary. President Trump tweeted this morning that Secretary Ryan Zinke will depart the administration at the end of the year after serving just 2 years. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
So, quite some time ago, there was an issue, if you remember, on the news about some alleged video of some Planned Parenthood individuals. I'm going to say the word alleged because the evidence was pretty strong that it was, but we always say alleged here, that they were videoed selling stem cells from fetuses, aborted fetuses, and that kind of threw the pro-life individuals in a little bit of a tizzy, let's put it that way. So what has happened from there is the issue of Planned Parenthood, whether or not they should be funded through federal government or not, or through states. So it comes down to a federal and a state argument. You know, who has the rights to determine that, states or federal government, okay? And so what has happened is the following. So the appellate courts have ruled this. There's a number of appellate courts that have ruled on this. The Fifth and the Tenth Circuit have ruled on these cases, determining whether or not a state can tell or not fund Planned Parenthood if they want. And the big issue here is there's splits in decisions. You know, the Fifth and the Tenth came out with different decisions. One came out with a decision that no, the state has the right, a state's right, to determine whether or not they want to fund Planned Parenthood, and another circuit came down and said no, they cannot dictate whether or not Medicare,
whether or not they could restrict
the funding
from Medicare to Planned Parenthood.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So there's a conflict here going within the district courts, and this is the appellate courts. And what happens then is it goes up to the United States Supreme Court, and they can do what's called, they'll either accept or deny cert, is what they call it.
Certiorari.
It's certiorari, but for short we say deny cert. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, you know what, it's not even important enough for us to even look at it. We're not even going to take the case. So what happened is, here's the first issue. Everyone's thinking Kavanaugh. Here's Kavanaugh now in a Planned Parenthood abortion case, but it's more of a Planned Parenthood case and state and federal funding rather than an abortion case.
Well, it also involves a provision in the law that does, it's called a private right of action, when somebody other than the state can enforce the terms of the Medicare payments,
right,
in essence. So it also has private rights that are at stake, not just federal and state rights.
Yeah, but the main crux of the question is, can the states determine whether or not there's funding for Planned Parenthood within their state, generally speaking? That's what it comes down to. And you're right, Denise. But so they're thinking, everyone's thinking, oh my gosh, here it's going up to Kavanaugh, and they deny cert. Now, it wasn't a split, but it was a 4-3, correct? So four.
I think it's 4-2.
4-2.
So,
I can't remember.
Well,
so in other words, Kavanaugh said, we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it.
Kavanaugh joined with the majority, as well as Roberts, and said, no, we're not going to grant certiorari.
Right.
Basically, they're saying
we're
not ripe yet.
Yeah.
Let's let it simmer some more in these courts, and then we can make that
but
decision.
But what's interesting, Denise, is all these courts are coming out with different rulings, the
right,
different
appellate
courts.
That's why Thomas, yeah. Justice Thomas, said he was the dissenting, and he said, no, look, we've got a split 4-2 in this issue. That's enough for us to have to make a decision. So we should grant certiorari and listen to this and make a decision.
So, you know, one of the things that struck me with this, and you'd ask yourself, well, why don't people follow Justice Thomas's suggestion? Because I think he does make a good point. If you have two different federal court judges, federal courts on opposite sides of the issue, where are the American people left to know what the law is,
right?
So how does that happen? But you know, you have
the lower courts.
Yes. Which one do we follow? If I'm filing a brief because I've got some issue related to this, and I want to go ahead and cite a court, well, if I cite this court, it's for me, but if they cite the other decision, it's against me. How do I know what to do as a lawyer? What to do as a judge? And I think the important thing to remember is, when cases are cited by an attorney, you don't just cite the case. What ends up happening is, if you say, this case stands for this proposition, all right, this case stands for this, and this is why we should follow it. The next thing that happens is, people will then get in and look at the facts of that case to say, okay, I get that that was the decision, but maybe that decision only applies in this limited set of factual circumstance. And then somebody else would look at the other case and say, well, that applies, but only in this limited sense. And I got the impression from reading this article here that Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Roberts were of the opinion that these two cases may create more problems than it solves because of the specialized nature of each one, and realizing that whatever decision the court makes one way or another is going to be so wide-ranging in terms of its impact and its influence, that this maybe isn't the factual scenario we want to be making that kind of a decision on.
So. Well, and I think equally as important, these different circuits are controlling law within the circuits themselves and the
yes.
courts that are the lower courts before them. The circuits are not controlling law, but only persuasive as to different circuits.
That is a great point.
Yeah, and so there we're looking at, while there is this difference, actually within the circuits themselves, they're consistent. So there's only four circuits and that are saying state doesn't have the right to restrict, and two circuits that are saying they do have the right to restrict. Because of that, it's quite not enough yet to really create the tension that's needed to have a Supreme Court opinion on it.
I'll give you a great example just to help further explain that point. We practice in California, all right? So when I'm writing a brief, I will cite the U.S. Supreme Court. I'll cite the federal circuits that are in California.
The Ninth Circuit.
And I will also cite the appellate courts,
right,
and the California
Correct.
Supreme Court. If there's a decision out of a state court in New York, that probably, that hardly ever makes it into any of my briefs, whatever the issue is, because we're not in New York.
Well, unless there's no other
right. yes,
no other decisions anywhere around, and that one you're using to be persuasive to your court that the reasoning is, legal reasoning is correct.
If I'm trying to say this, but you know, in criminal law, for example, I don't come across that very often where there's an issue that just hasn't been addressed. And so that's the way I do it for state courts. In the federal there's something similar. You know, you have all these different circuits that are everywhere else. If you want to cite authority to persuade the judge, I would be citing authority. If I'm in a federal court before a certain judge in Sacramento, okay, if this case goes awry, it's going to be appealed to the Ninth Circuit. So I want this judge to know, you know, it's in the Ninth Circuit area. No, I'm in the Ninth Circuit. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I'm in California. So
for federal?
Yes.
Okay.
So if I cite something in California and I'm in the federal court and I know that if this gets appealed, it's going to be appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, then I'm going to want to use the Ninth Circuit's decisions to try to sway my judge. I'm not going to want to use some decision from some other judge.
Unless, like Denise said, sometimes there's no decisions in this area. So that's why you get and say, here's some examples. But it still is going to cause a little bit of confusion out there.
It is.
And that's why we're just bringing the thing up. Really quick before the end of the break, John Gosselin, tell us really quickly what happened there. He was awarded sole custody of his son, Colin, and he stated he's always wanted to live with me. Is that
what happened? Colin has some special needs,
right?
And when Kate had custody of Colin, he was put into a place that could help to meet his special needs, and he's ready to be out of that place. And when when it was determined that he was going to be on the countdown to get out, he made his feelings known that he really wanted to go and live with his dad, John Gosselin, and not with his mother, Kate Gosselin. Now he's 13 years old, I believe he is, and that's old enough to have some say, not to say he gets to make the decision, but he has some input or as to what the decision's going to be. I don't know the law all over, but usually a person has to be deemed to have capacity to make decisions for themselves and deemed to make smart decisions for themselves
right.
and be old enough to have that kind of decision making. And this is what happened, and John got
and
custody.
They live happily ever after, right?
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
John lives with Hannah. Hannah, one of the sextuplets, lives with John already. So now the son and Colin and Hannah are going to live together with John.
I want to thank KYAH-AM 540 in Utah. We're all over Utah. They're our newest affiliate. Thank you for bringing us on live. If you have any questions there in Utah, 855-LAW-RADIO. We're going to talk about Mueller might be under the microscope now after a judge sentenced an ex-National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn. And we're going to talk a little about the bull, which is the set. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hi, I'm Kelly Cook, Chief Marketing Officer for Kmart and Sears. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Kmart to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Kmart's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Over 15 years. She quit, and now there's a new lung cancer screening that could save her life. You stopped smoking, now start screening. No matter how much you smoked, early detection could save you. Talk to your doctor or learn more at savedbythescan.org.
Are all licensed to practice law in California. But if you want a lawyer, no matter where you're listening, you can...
I don't know what's happening, but don't worry, folks. Radio Law Talk will resume here, and for those of you on the network, we'll be fine. We'll pick it up here in 5, 4, 3, 2, here we go. Aren't computers great? This is Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. Now back to the show. Here's Fred Penny.
You know what your problem, Cal, is with those computers?
I can't help when they crash?
No, there's not a 10-year-old sitting next to you.
I know, right? I need at least two. I need two of them here to just help me out.
Eliza Dushku. Am I saying it right?
Eliza, yes. Dushku.
Okay, so she's received a $9.5 million settlement offer.
Yes, she did. And here is, well, she didn't just receive the 9.5 settlement offer. She received the money.
The dough.
What's happening now is what has come to light is a secret, what they're calling a secret payment to settle a dispute. And here's what happened. She was set to be on the show Bull, and that airs on CBS. And at some point in time, during the filming of the episodes that she was in, She alleges that the lead actor, the guy who plays Bull, said some things to her on the set in front of others that she deemed to be of a harassment nature, sexual harassment. And there were a couple of different instances of this. And her claim is that once she voiced her complaint, her displeasure, that shortly thereafter her character was written off the show, that there were well-developed plans to make her a full part of the show, so she claims, and that she was then written off. Obviously, the producers of CBS of the show are of the opinion that, you know, characters are written off the show all the time. We do polls, focus groups. If somebody comes in, they don't like a certain character. It's always flexible. This happens. And we decided to go in a different creative direction. It had nothing to do with you bringing forth these claims. That's the CBS argument.
What's not disputed is that she was written off the show after she made the formal complaint.
That is correct.
And so the showrunner, Glenn Gordon, told TV Line that she was written out for plot reasons. She was supposed to be the love interest of Weatherby, which is the Bull character.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think what we all realized was the only way to have kept her character in the show, because she is a lawyer, was if her law firm bought Bull's company, and then you would really be changing the DNA of the whole show. There was no way to keep that sort of duet working.
Now, all of that makes sense, because, you know, without getting into too much television stuff, you know, you can't have the guy who is the Bull and then now he's bought off and he's nothing in his character, but that gets too much in the plot line. The fact is,
no, that shows bias, and it's not going to happen in real life. Is what you're saying.
CBS says it was a storyline, plotline decision. We make those all the time. People get written on and written off all the time. Had nothing to do with you bringing forward the complaint. And she said, no, the timing was too coincidental. And
right.
It did have everything to do with
and
it.
And they actually went to arbitration. Is that correct?
They did. And something happened at arbitration that kind of reminded me of the O.J. Simpson, don't make him try on the glove unless you know it fits kind of thing. Because what happened was the lawyer for CBS decided that he was going to, or that person was going to play out takes from the show Bull to prove that no harassment took place, and it backfired because
that
when they played the outtakes, the opposite happened.
That was a bad idea.
That was a bad idea. And the funny thing about it is that what I understand is that the character of Bull, he actually is a method actor, so he tries to maintain himself in the character. And Bull, the person, the star of the show, is a jury consultant person and witness consultant, and he uses psychology and other things to kind of tell if they're telling the truth or if they're going to make a good jury, you know, all those kind of things. And his character is a little off in the show, and that's part of the charm of him.
And that's the thing that's a little bit concerning. You know, look, actors in the industry know that if they are working with an actor who's a method actor, and not a lot of people are. I mean, there are some that are very successful at it. Daniel Day-Lewis is a very successful method actor. And a method actor is, for an all intents and purposes, is someone who, once they get into character, they don't break character just when they call cut on a shot. They stay in character through the entire filming. Daniel Day-Lewis, he was in that show Lincoln. He made the cast and crew call him Mr. Lincoln, even offset, so he could maintain his character and whatnot. So if you're in a show with a guy who kind of plays an outlandish person like this, and they're a method actor, as an actor, you need to expect that they're going to stay in that character. But that's not what happened here. After the outtakes that were presented in the mediation, CBS came forward with a $9.5 million settlement, and that is how the case got resolved.
And that $9.5 million settlement actually reflects what she should have made if she became a full-time character on Bull, and that would be her contracts for all the years that Bull ran. Bull has now since been canceled.
So now the question, did the lawyer get a third of that money that would have been her salary, or was there legal expense on top of that? Because if that's the case, she got ripped off by 33%.
No, we don't know. No, that's a personal injury suit,
well,
first
no,
of all.
I'm saying that she would have...
You have to answer that, you have to know what the terms of the fee agreement
are. That's what
is
I'm
it
asking.
A contingency or is it a pay?
Right.
And more than likely, when you have this kind of a contract dispute, you are paying out for that. It's very rare that when you have a contract dispute that an attorney attorney will take a contingency.
Sometimes they'll do both, a hybrid. They'll do partial contingency and some payment.
Or a cost retainer that pays the cost, and then they get a contingency of recovery.
It depends. One other area where she may be losing money also is if this show, even though it was a couple seasons long, is eventually made on Netflix or whatever, and there are residuals that are paid the actors when this is played on TVs, reruns, and what have you. If she agreed to the $9.5 million settlement with no other compensation that we're aware of, then she is not going to be paid her share of anything like other actors in the show would. She's entitled to no...
Like some of them may, because it depends on their underlying contract for the job.
The SAG rules indicate that if you're in a show that gets paid, you get paid for that. I got a friend of mine that was a minor character doing voiceover work for the movie Toy Story, and he still gets a little check from SAG every once in a while every time that show is played somewhere else. And so, you know, that is what the actors really hope for, the residuals.
And I don't think that Bull had enough episodes to get into full-blown traditional syndication, so there won't be as much money as there would be as if they had. I think the magic number is 100.
Yes.
I think if they have 100 episodes, then it's a magic number.
Right. I think what's also very interesting is that she's definitely going to lose. You know why? Who does she have to pay besides her lawyers?
The government.
IRS and the state she lives in. You bet. She's going to have to pay taxes on this because it is damages that's directly related to lost revenue that she would have made, which would have been income.
Injury.
Exactly. There's no type of any portion of this damages that are going to be non-taxable. It's going to be taxed.
Because had it been a personal injury, is that tax exempt in most cases, Fred?
I mean, part of it is.
Yeah, personal injury is, well, most of it is, because most of it is from a personal injury and it's tax exempt.
Right, but some could be lost wages. And if it's lost wages, then the person that gets recovered their wages
sometimes,
have to pay.
Sometimes. Depends. That's our show. But yeah, generally, yes.
Generally speaking, yes. It's by limited knowledge, guys.
I hate to say it. I hate to throw a wrench in it. It depends. But generally, yes. But the personal injury portion of the suit is...
The one for pain and suffering is definitely non-taxable.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that there's the seek your tax professional. Let's talk about the National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
He's sentenced, and here's the most important thing about the sentence, because we're running out of time and it's very important. The judge now orders the prosecution, now Mueller, to reveal and turn over all the questioning and issues about this.
Here's the background. Mueller has recommended no time. Flynn has said, I got this forced down my throat.
That's right.
And so because we don't know the outcome of this, the judge says, you guys on Mueller's side and you guys on Flynn's side, we need all your notes.
Yep.
We want to know what happened during this process. And so we're going to get a C behind the investigation.
Right, because he's claiming that
cooperation.
They forced him not to have a lawyer.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to get.
We got to stay up on that.
We'll stay up on that. We're going to be back next Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific time. Thanks for joining Todd, Denise, Cal, and I. I'm Fred Penny, your host. See you next week.
It's tamale day, guys.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features.
Smart BP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems, the Smart Blood Pressure Tracker.